Good morning. Good to have you along with us today. Today's program originally set to air April 13th and 14th, year of our Lord 2025. Appreciate you taking time to tune in and listen to us today. We're going to be studying in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 6. We're going to back up to verse 19 before we get into what many call the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke chapter 6, verse 19, after Jesus has offended the Pharisees through the breaking of the Sabbath in the first half of the book, he has chosen his 12 apostles, and he has begun to heal people again. In verse 19 it says, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him and healed them all." That is everybody that was there. And I mean, what a miraculous sight to see. People who were paralyzed, people who were blind, people who were deaf, people who had all sorts of problems came to Jesus and they were healed. And I hate to go back to this, but that's where we closed. Well, that was one of the things we talked about last Sunday morning as we got close to closing. And I said, you know, we will be healed one day. Maybe not here on this earth, but when we go to heaven, there will be healing. Now, the tragic side of that is, and as I listened to myself say this, I thought, well, there's going to be some that maybe don't understand what I'm trying to say. The people that go to hell are going to be whole. They're going to have two hands and two feet and two eyes and two ears. They're going to have their faculties. The people who were blind are going to see what they didn't see. They're going to see that they're without God forever now. Those who were deaf are going to hear their final judgment. Those who were lame are going to see that they could have leapt for joy. I mean, this thing about hell, the worst thing about hell is not going to be that we're going to be sick or hurting or lame or whatever the case is. It's going to be that we're separated from Christ throughout eternity. We chose that. And for those who are unredeemed, for those who are unrepentant, for those who are unregenerated, the lost, they're going to see that in life they refuse to give God the glory, even though they may have been in immense pain. I'm not taking away from that. They're going to see that for eternity they could have praised him had they simply praised him through the pain that they felt here on this earth. And you say, Neil, that's a tragic statement. I agree. I agree that it is. But I'm afraid that is the truth. And we turn our attention to verse 20. He, and it says, and he, that'd be Jesus, lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Now, as I read over this list, and he starts with blessed are the poor, and this is worded differently than it is in Matthew chapter 5. That's where you find the Sermon on the Mount. But they both start with blessed are the poor. And I think this is just the way I kind of remember it. You know, when you first start out, you got nothing. We come into this world with nothing. We joke and say there were some that were born with a silver spoon, and some do have advantages, but we came into this world naked, and we'll just go out with what somebody chose to put on us. We come in naked, we leave naked. We're nothing in this life. And as I read over this list, I could look at it like, well, you know, poor people don't have to worry about losing anything. And the Bible talks about that, even in the Old Testament, how that, you know, the riches will not worry you to sleep. You can't worry yourself to sleep, that type of thing. That's a little bit of the NRV, the Neil Ridlin version. But he says, blessed are you who hunger now. Blessed are you who weep now. And you think about this, you think, well, you know, somebody's poor, doesn't have to worry about losing it. Somebody's hungry, doesn't have to worry about being overweight. Somebody that's sad now can only get better. The Arkansas Razorback baseball team, when I recorded this message, was ranked number one in the nation. And when something about that was said to their coach, Dave Van Horn, he said, well, we've got nowhere to go but backward. When you're on the top, you can't get any higher. And so Jesus describes people who are pretty well on the bottom rung. They can't get much lower, if any. And I'm not telling you that sometimes that's not the way I look at things, because it is. But I don't think that's the main point here today, is it? Not that I think most people can read this and understand. Jesus is not saying, well, you know, when you hit rock bottom, you got nowhere to go but up. And you could read that into it. But what he's saying is, things are not always the way they appear. And especially when it comes to this point about being made fun of, about being cut out of the group, about not being wanted in this type of thing, he's saying God sees where you're at, and God knows what you're going through, and it's not always going to be like this. You may be crying now, but you're going to laugh later. You may be hungry now, but you're going to be filled later. You may be poor now, but you'll have plenty when you get where you're going. And those people who hurt you, and those people who left you out, and those people who rejected you, well, you're not going to regret it, but they will. He says in verse 24, but woe unto you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So now Jesus, instead of speaking to those who are on the bottom rung, begins to speak to those who are top, who are on top, those who are high up, those who think they've got it made. And he says, you know what, guys? You may think you're rich, but you've got all you're ever going to get. You may think you're full, but you're going to hunger. You may be making fun of somebody and laughing about it today, but you won't always do that. And then he says, and I don't know, boy, I've got mixed emotions about verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You know, one of the things that I have enjoyed in my life is I had a grandfather that he just didn't really say much bad about anybody. And over the years, I had more than one person from his generation and the generation behind him. They'd say, well, you know, Neil, I just don't know anything bad about your grandfather. And I'd say, well, he didn't talk about other people. And so I guess people just didn't talk about him, at least not in a bad way. And so kind of taken from the reputation of him, the people of his generation thought that I ought to be that good, and I'm not saying I was anywhere near it, but I enjoyed that. People would say good things about me and good things about my family. Jesus says, yeah, you know, you better be careful here. Because they did the same thing about the false prophets. Now, why did they speak well of the false prophets? Well, it's because they told them what they wanted to hear. I mean, they said, hey, you know what? You're doing good. Keep going. you want to do this, you want to do that, whatever makes you feel good, do it. You're God's chosen people. This is God's chosen city. He's not going to smite you. You're going to be all right. But they were wrong. Now, in the culture we live in, and we do live in the Bible Belt, and I'm thankful for that too, we are going to say good things about people when they do good things. And I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. What Jesus is saying here is if you're having good things said about you for the wrong reasons, I think, I could be off on this, he's saying you're not in too good standing. It says in verse 27, "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them who curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him who smites you on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him who takes away your cloak or your outer garment, forbid not to take your coat also." So both of your outer garments. Give to every man who asks of you, and of him who takes away your goods, ask them not again. So as we follow the scripture, really the whole way through this teaching, Jesus is hitting these folks with some ideas that just are going to seem contrary, opposite of what they've been thinking. They think that, you know what, eating and drinking is good, and we do too. They think that being happy is good, and we do too, and I think it is. But Jesus here really puts a twist on this thing. He says, you know what, love your enemies. Oh, well, I thought I was supposed to hate my enemy. Jesus says, you know what, you're supposed to try to look at him the way God looks at him. He was somebody's child, or she was somebody's child. There may be bitterness in their heart that causes them to act the way that they do. I was listening to a program off and on this last week, and one of the statements they made, and I've heard this before, it was, hurt people hurt people. And I think some of you got that. People who are hurt will turn around and hurt other people. When there's bitterness in somebody's heart, it prevents the truth, it prevents love from soaking in. It prevents them from caring, and we don't know why that bitterness is there. We don't know what happened to them. Now, I'm going to circle all the way back around to what I said in the beginning. It's their choice, some of this. They chose how they reacted to some things, but guys, I've made some mistakes too. So, you know, these people, when the time comes for them to go to hell, are not going to be able to say, well, you know, Neil said this or said that, and that offended me. No, that's not how that's going to work. You can't let somebody else come between you and your relationship with God. That's not how it works. You get down to verse 31. It says, "And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We say, do unto others as you would have done unto you." In some ways, I've kind of preached this message backwards, but as I looked over the text, I said, well, I want to make it to that verse. And we started out talking about where you'll spend eternity, which is where we usually end up. And we end up talking about how you treat other people, which is how we usually try to start out. But guys, listen to me just a minute. If you give me the chance to think about it, I really try to do this. I try to treat other people the way I'd want to be treated. Now, if you smite me on my right cheek, I may not be thinking right. And I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, I can't hit back like I used to. I'll go ahead and admit that. Don't have that ability. But this is what Jesus wants us to do. Treat other people the way we'd want to be treated. And I think that that's something worth doing. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. That's his promise to us today, and I hope that you'll cling on to it. Appreciate you tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.